I've been a member of the Northwest Group for about 33 years now. And in the 33 years that I've been a member, I've seen a lot of good times. I've seen a lot of speakers not work.
Is the red light on?
The red light is not on.
You did get me up. Is this the way that you get me up?
Thank you, Terry. And
we're good.
Rats. Okay, plan C. Anyway, I've been a member for about 33 years. I've seen some good things. I've seen some people being baptized. I've seen some young kids grow up to be adults, to have kids of their own. But I've also seen some bad things, some sad things. I've seen people leave the church, and I've always wondered, why would they do that? Why is it they once knew the truth, knew what they needed to do, but all of a sudden, there's an empty pew out there. And there are two things that I've come up with. One, something major happens, a major life event happens. And instead of turning towards God, they turn away from God. And another thing that happens, I believe, is it's not one major event, but it's a constant series of bombardments by people in our daily lives that kind of wear us down. And today, I'm going to talk about discouragement. And in 2017, the Christian has a lot of things on their plate. But for the most part, it's the same as 1917, 1817, 1717, and so forth. Some things that are different is travel. We can travel around the world in 24 hours now on a commercial jet. Communication, internet, 24-hour news, all the things we have at our disposal right now, the amount of resources available. We have the internet. We have hundreds, thousands of books on virtually any subject you think of. And we have pressure of groups who support non-Christian lifestyles. 2017 Christian, most importantly, it is a commitment that lasts forever. Now, how do we prepare for this lifetime commitment? One, do nothing. And I mean, really, can we expect to get any goal and do nothing? Or do we look at the race to be run? Do we prepare our mind and body and heart to overcome any obstacle we face? Being a Christian is not fast, it's not easy, it's not quick. It is not a sprint. It's like running a marathon, a commitment to overcome any obstacle we face which leads us away from God. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. An obstacle we face every day. Discouraging comments from those we interact with every day during our daily activities. So what kind of comments do we hear? Here's some common quotes about being a Christian. Quotes I have personally heard since I have become a Christian. There is not a God. We hear that almost every day in some form on, if you watch TV at all, you hear this constantly, either flat out being said or implied. Church of Christ does not like music. Now that one, to me, is really, really silly. It's hard to believe people would say that, but you hear that. If you talk to somebody who's not a member of the church, and you say, I belong to the Church of Christ, how many times do we hear, oh, you're the ones that don't like music? Of course, we correct them, and we say, we don't like instrumental music, and they'll go, this happened to me several times. I'm sure it's happened to you. The Church of Christ thinks they are the only ones who will be saved and have an eternal home in heaven. I'm sure we've all heard that. I feel I have a personal connection to God and don't need to be part of organized religion. That's part of the New Age feeling that a lot of people have. I'm a good person, and I don't need to go to church. And on the flip side, I've done too many bad things in my life, and I can't be saved. We may hear these comments often, and they can make us feel discouraged. Having a strong spiritual connection and foundation gives us a shield to deflect these negative comments and gives us the strength to remain positive in our beliefs and help us deal with the negative comments. So how do we deal with the negative comments we hear? One, go into training. We have to prepare ourselves. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They that do it to receive a perishable wreath, but as an imperishable. Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Focus all your energies towards winning the race. Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting that what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press onward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. And third, prayer and study. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. And 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. Building a strong foundation and shield. We need knowledge and firm belief in God, and the Bible is the Word of God. We need to know how to be saved. Know you can be forgiven even if you have done bad things. Don't add or change God's Word. And wisdom to flee from sin and choose wisely who you are around. Here's an example. You hear a comment from someone saying, God is not real. Okay, I say, let's turn that around. Is the following luck or design? The Earth is located the perfect distance from the sun. Any closer and we would burn up, further away and we would freeze. So picture, if you would, the universe. You got the sun, you got the earth. Just a little bit this way, we'd burn up. A little bit that way, we would freeze. But we're right there, perfect. The perfect distance. Not only that, but the earth is going 67,000 miles an hour around the sun. Now, I've been on an airplane going 300, maybe 400 miles an hour, and to me, that's really fast. The earth goes 67,000 miles an hour. Never fluctuates. Always going the perfect distance, perfect speed. The moon is the perfect size and distance from the earth, and its gravitational pull and the water and the moon's important role in providing ocean tides so the waters do not stagnate. Now, if you have a pool or a puddle of water and it stays there for a couple of days, what happens? It starts to get old, stagnate, nasty. Well, our oceans and seas and lakes would be like that if we didn't have the moon doing what it needs to do. The Earth's size is perfect. Right size to have an atmosphere capable to support plant, animal, and human life. The Earth, the Sun, the Moon, is it an accident or does it show it was designed by an intelligent creator far greater than we can even imagine? Now, that's only a small sample of the miracle of God's work. There's so much more. You know, there's books and books and books written about this. That's only a small sample. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the earth, accident or design. The sun and moon, accident or design. The stars, ocean, the mountains, and so on, accident or design. And we have not mentioned all the miracles of human, animal, and plant life, all found in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. You hear a comment that the Bible is not the Word of God, or Jesus is not the Son of God. Evidence to support the Bible is God's Word. There are over 24,000 manuscripts dating back as far as 100 A.D., No other book comes even close to that number. Evidence that Jesus lived can be traced back to the first century by the historian Josephus. Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew 3:16 and 17. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Also Luke 22:70-71, and they all said, "Are you the Son of God then?" And he said to them, "Yes, I am." Then they said, "What further need do we have of testimony? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." We need to know that we can be forgiven even if we've done bad things. Look at Paul. Paul persecuted Christians. He was an avid persecutor, yet he becomes a follower of Christ and writes several New Testament books, 13 books. God has a plan of salvation. Now, I'm sure everybody here has heard these before. I won't read them. But we need to hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and remain faithful. And don't add or change God's word. Revelations 18:19. Terry's going to cover that next week, so we won't read that. And as far as changing and adding God's word, don't be a victim of the latest megachurch fad. I know they come up, there's a big churches come up, and they'll have thousands of people, and they're a real hot thing, and after a year or two, they kind of fade away, and another one comes up. We need to stick to God's word. I don't have to go to church. I have my own personal connection to God. Again, this is some of the New Age philosophy that people have. I won't read the whole 1 Corinthians 12:14-19. But you have to be part of the body of Christ. You can't just be the hand, can't just be the feet, can't be just the eye. We need everybody, and you need to be part of everything. You can't go around saying, "I'm a hand, I don't have to do anything else," because you won't live. Galatians 1:8-9. "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse, as we have already said. So now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse." Now, here's an important one for us all. Choose wisely who you are around. 1 Corinthians 6:9. "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" In 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Bad company corrupts good morals." And wisdom to flee from sin. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, "Abstain from every form of evil." And 2 Timothy 2:22, "Flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness." Here's one you hear all the time. Only the Church of Christ will be saved. Matthew 16:18. "I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." Ephesians 4:4-6. "There is one body and one spirit, just as also you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, He who is over all and through all and in all. Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Music. Here's another of my favorite comments I hear from people. When they hear I'm a member of the Church of Christ, what do they say? You're the ones who don't like music. Ephesians 5:19-21. Speaking to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be added to one another in the fear of Christ. Also Colossians 3:16. But I think the best argument I have on that is, you know, think back in June when we had our song service. We were packed. We were just totally full. We love music. When we come and sing songs, it's part of my favorite part of worship. And I think any Christian would say that and think that. It's these uneducated people who don't know any better. They just think you have to have a big band or it doesn't count. They just don't get it sometimes. Now, these discouraging comments, did these comments have merit? There is not a God. And think of the design of the universe. Think of Genesis 1:1. I think that we can feel comfortable in saying there is a God. Church of Christ does not like music. We just talked about that. In Ephesians 5:17, Colossians 3:16, and the fact that every time we have a song service, we are packed. We do love music. Only the Church of Christ will be saved and have an internal home in heaven. Now, that's kind of a tricky one, because is it true? It's true that to go to heaven, you have to follow Jesus, and we follow Jesus. Now, if we were a congregation, then, okay, might not be true. We'd be no different than the Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, and so forth. But to go to Christ, you have to go through Jesus. And that's what the Bible says. Matthew 16:18, Ephesians 4:4-6, Acts 4:12, and other verses all say we have to go through Christ. I have a personal connection to God, and I don't need to be part of organized religion. Again, this is part of the New Age megachurch philosophy. I think that you can't go by what's hot, by what's the biggest fad. You have to go by the Bible, and that's what we do, and I'm very grateful to be part of a group that does that. I am a good person. I don't need to go to church. Well, you've got to think of God's plan of salvation. And just being a good person was not one of the things listed. I have lived too bad of a life, and I can't be saved. Well, we can look at Peter as a great example. We can look at David in the Old Testament, a great example. Men who did bad things, realized the error, came back to God, and, you know, I can't think of any more important men, people that wrote so much of the Bible, than David in the Old Testament, Peter in the New Testament. So again, that living too bad of a life doesn't really fly. Having a strong foundation and shield will give us a home in heaven. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So in other words, you have to remain a Christian all of your life. You can't be a Christian for 24 hours, for a month, for a year. It's ongoing until the day that we're no longer on this earth, until our life disappears. At that point, you can be comfortable knowing that you'll spend an eternity in heaven with God.